You've heard me say this a dozen times, I guess, over the last couple of months. Let me repeat it to you again. The Holy Spirit, the blessed Holy Spirit, is not a power that you possess. He is a person with whom you relate. Get that in your thinking. Get that in your mind. Get that down pat. You need to remember this. The Holy Spirit is not a power that you apply, that you employ. He is a person. Now, I say all of that, but I want to come back around and say this. He is a person, not a power, but he is one more incredibly powerful person. You got that? He is a person, not a power, but he's an incredibly powerful person. And the scripture says the person of the Holy Spirit, this powerful presence, the powerful person of the Holy Spirit is in your life if you're a believer in Christ. Now, let me tell you what that means. If he's in you, his power's in you, and whether you know this or not, that makes you one of the most powerful people on the planet. Now, you may not know it. You may not be aware of it. But I want you to hear it again. It makes you one of the most powerful people on the planet. In fact, the most powerful people on the planet are not politicians or military leaders. They're not the moguls of finance and captains of industry. The most powerful people on the planet are the believers in Jesus Christ, possessed of and full of the Holy Spirit. Now, the problem is, we're the most powerful people on the planet, and we don't even know that we are. Most Christians have no understanding of the power of his presence in their life. This morning, we're going to talk about that. Take your Bible. I want you to open them up and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. And I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 3. In a moment, we begin reading Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. We're going to talk about this wonderful power, this wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you've been with us, you know that we have for quite a while now been involved in a series of messages about the Holy Spirit and you. We've been talking about this ongoing, interactive, interpersonal relationship that God wants to have with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Get this in your thinking. I hope you've gotten this. If you haven't remembered anything else I've said, remember this. You can only experience a relationship with God in the person of the Holy Spirit. You do not experience the person of the Father. You do not experience the person of the Son. The Father's on the throne of glory. The Son's at the right hand of the Father. It is the Holy Spirit who is in the world today. And so any relationship you have with God must be experienced in the person of the Holy Spirit. What I've said to you all along is if you want to hear from God, you've got to learn to tune in to the Holy Spirit in you. If you want to sense the presence of God, you've got to learn to tune in to the presence of the Holy Spirit in you and around you. Now, get that down. Make sure you understand this. By the way, before I go any further, let me mention something. I think, and maybe you'll disagree, but I think that this particular series of messages may well be one of the most critically significant series that I have ever preached in this church. I really believe that this particular subject is a very critical subject. It's an amazingly important thing to talk about. In fact, I think this particular series may have longer lasting ramifications than almost anything else I've talked about in the years that I have pastored and preached to this congregation. There's so much we need to know about the Holy Spirit. There's so much confusion about the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What does he do? What do you call him? You call him Holy Spirit? You call him Holy Ghost? I guess it largely depends on which translation of the Bible you favor. And by the way, that may sound trivial to you, but a lot of people get all wrapped up in these little confusing issues. I had a man several years ago come to me and was critical of the way I baptized. He said, I did not baptize by the right formula. He said, when you baptize, Pastor, you baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You must learn, he said, to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Look up here, let me tell you, they're the same one. I guess you know that, don't you? I hope you do. He didn't, but, you know, I hope you do. The only difference between Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit is King James versus something else. The 1611 translation of the King James used the word ghost because in that day, Old English, the word spirit and ghost were the same thing. They simply inserted the word ghost. There isn't a Holy Spirit and a Holy Ghost. It's just one person. The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, call him what you will. But there's so much confusion, and not just confusion, controversy. I've said this to you before, but I want you to get it again. In my opinion, there's nothing more controversial and no greater divide in the Christian faith in the last days than over the subject of the Holy Spirit. Let me make sure you understand this. I think the great division in the last days in the Christian faith is not going to be over the inerrancy of Scripture. It's not going to be over some doctrines of the faith. It's going to be over this idea, this doctrine of the Holy Spirit. On one side, you're going to have people who say the Holy Spirit is for today, and on the other side, you're going to have people who say his power is no longer for us. Let me tell you why I believe that's going to be the case. If you go back and read your Bible, in the book of Acts, Peter talks about the Holy Spirit being poured out in the last days. He quotes the prophet Joel on the day of Pentecost, and he says, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see vision, and your old men will dream dreams. Peter said this will be characteristic of the last days. And Peter also made it clear that when he was talking about the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, that the promise was for you and to your children and to your children's children, as many as are far off. In other words, it's our promise too. So Peter says the last days will be characterized by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, said that in the last days, men will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Now, most Bible scholars believe that that text means that in the last days, men will be religious, they'll go to church, they'll claim to be people of faith, but they will deny the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, to them, supernatural is superstitious. On one hand, you're going to have people who say the Holy Spirit is falling upon them. On the other hand, you're going to have people who say, I believe, but I don't think the Holy Spirit is for our day. It is the great divide. Now, the reason I'm preaching this series of messages is I want us as a church to come down on the right side of that divide. And here's the right side. The Holy Spirit is alive and well and active, and oh my, is He powerful. That is the right side of the argument. And this is what the passage is about this morning. It speaks about the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you. Take your Bible. Let's begin now. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Let me read this, and then I'll put it in context for you. Paul is writing, he said, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's a great text. I'd love to preach that sometime. Maybe I will. Look in verse 16. And as you look at verse 16, put a star beside it. It's a key verse. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit. Who's His Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. That He will strengthen you through His might, or through His Spirit, in the inner man. Put a line under the word words inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. What is the fullness of God? It's the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 20, put a star beside verse 20. It's another key. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, now here it is, according to the power. What's the power? The Holy Spirit. According to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now quickly go back and look at the two key verses. Verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. And verse 20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, let me give you the context. The Apostle Paul is speaking to Christians in Ephesus. He's been talking about grace. In fact, the entire first two chapters and most of the third chapter is all about grace. He's been talking about the fact that we're saved by grace through faith, the gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. He's been talking about, in chapter 3, the great mystery of grace. And he's talking about how God in His grace has saved Jew and Gentile alike. And then he comes down to the end of chapter 3, and he breaks out in this great litany of praise to grace. But right in the middle of this litany of praise to grace, he inserts these two great passages that have to do with the power of the Holy Spirit in us. It is as though Paul is connecting the grace of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, almost as if Paul is saying we need to tune into grace and turn on to the power of the Spirit in us. And here's what we're going to do this morning. Again, we're going to do a Bible study. You will, incidentally, need to have your Bible out and open, because I'm going to have you turn to three or four different passages. So get your Bibles out and get ready to take some notes. And I warn you, as I have the other two services, this message is a message in process, in progress. The first two sermons did not end the same way. I mean, I started the same way, but I haven't ended the same way twice yet. I don't know what that means or where we're going or when we're going to be through. I guess if you get up and leave, that means we're through. But until then, we may just keep on going. There are some interesting things here. We're just going to go where we can with this. This is one of those things God's laid on my heart almost at the last minute to talk about. And so this is a sermon in progress. Is that okay with you? Will you guys help me build this sermon? That doesn't mean tell me anything or say anything. It just means listen really well. Are you ready? All right, in this passage of Scripture, these two verses do these two things. Paul talks about what we might call the internal power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then he talks about what we'll call the external power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Take your Bible, look in verse 16. He begins by describing the internal effect of this power in your life. And in essence, what he says, and write this down, in essence, what he says is this, that the Holy Spirit's power is in you. It resonates in you to strengthen your inner man. Take your Bible, go back and look in verse 16. Paul says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened, enabled, made capable, that's what the word means, with might. The word might means power. It's the same Greek word for power, through his Spirit in the inner man. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, here's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. Here's the power of the Spirit. He resonates in you to strengthen your inner man. Now, what in the world is your inner man? Are you aware of the fact that the Bible teaches you have both an outer man and an inner man? What is the outer man? The outer man is your body. It's the physical part of you, muscle and tendon and blood and flesh. That's your outer man. But the Bible says you also have an inner man. What is your inner man? That's your soul. The psyche of you, the character of you, the personality of you. Within your soul, there's also the Spirit. But this is your inner man. Now, the Bible talks about your inner man being strengthened by God. Your outer man perishes, but your inner man is strengthened by God. In fact, let me give you a text to look at. You are in Ephesians chapter 3. Still got your Bibles? Turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul talks about this inner man, outer man dynamic. Let me just show it to you so you'll catch it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul says in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. That means we don't become depressed or discouraged, though sometimes we do. Even though, have you found it? You're still turning. I can hear the pages turning. That's great. It's great that they're turning. I do wish you'd find it. Now, verse 16, here we go. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man or outer man is perishing. Yet the inward man or inner man is being renewed day by day. What is Paul saying? Paul says you have an outer man and an inner man. And your outer man is perishing. And it is perishing. Look up here. This is my outer man. This is the only outer man I've ever had. And it is perishing. You know what the word perish means? It means rot. It literally means decay. The outer man is decaying. The outer man is rotting. The outer man is perishing. My outer man perishes every single day. You ever feel like when you get up in the morning, you perished a little bit during the night? You ever have that feeling? You just feel like you rotted away just a little bit? I mean, you get up in the morning and your theme song is Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. I mean, you just look at yourself and you just feel as though somehow or another you've gone down in the night. Happens all the time. Sometimes you even smell like you're perishing. The outer man perishes. It just goes away. This is why, and no matter how hard you work at it, you can't stop the outer man from perishing. The Apostle Paul said, exercise, bodily exercise, profiteth little. That's always been one of my favorite texts, you know? Now, he doesn't say it doesn't profit at all. It does profit some, and it is good, and I've been working harder than ever before trying to get this outer man in better shape than it is. But no matter what I do, it just perishes. Day after day after day after day, I get more and more rotten. I'm just perishing every day. Now, Paul says, however, I have an inner man that is strengthened and renewed day by day. How is my inner man renewed day by day? Ephesians 3, verse 16, by the might, his might, through his Spirit in my inner man. In other words, here's what the power of the Holy Spirit does in your life. He resonates in you to strengthen the inner man. Let me break that down for a moment. What this enables you to do, number one, is when your inner man is strengthened, you're now able to live out your faith in Christ. It's only when the inner man is strengthened by the Holy Spirit that you can do that. Did you catch what I was saying? You still awake? It's only when you allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen your inner man that you can actually live out your faith in Christ. Are you aware of the fact that you cannot live the Christian life in the flesh? I mean, the Christian life can only be lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who have never tried to live the Christian life have the idea that it's an easy life to live. I'm here to tell you it's not easy. It's not even difficult. It is impossible unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit resonant in you. Let me give you a text that backs this up. You're in Ephesians chapter 3. Turn to the next book. Look in Philippians chapter 2 for a moment. Just turn there. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. Paul is speaking to the Christians at Philippi. The context of this is Paul has gone away and he's writing back. While Paul was with them, they were living out their faith very well. They were doing well in the Christian life. Now he's gone and he's concerned that they continue to live out their faith. So Paul says in verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." In other words, just as you've obeyed me when I was there, obey me now that I'm not. Do what I want you to do. Do the right thing. What's the right thing? "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." The word means awe and reverence. Now, Paul says, here's what you need to do. You need to work out your salvation. Please note, he does not say work for salvation. Paul is not talking here about earning eternal life by your merit. Mother Teresa herself could not do enough good work to earn heaven. What he's saying is work out your salvation. The language here means this: live out your faith. You're a saved person. Start living out your salvation. Live like the saved person you're supposed to be. Now, that's a piece of cake, right? That's not hard, is it? Just to do the right thing and be the right kind of person and live the Christian faith. Isn't that an easy thing to do? It cannot be done unless the power of the Holy Spirit is strengthening your inner man, which is why Paul says what he does next. Look in verse 13, the very next verse. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Who is God working in you? That's the Holy Spirit working in you to do his good will and pleasure. The key to understanding that is verse 13 and the word works. It's the Greek word energos, the same word from which we get our word energy. Paul was saying, listen, it's the Holy Spirit energizing you to live out your faith. Are you listening? Unless you connect with the Holy Spirit, you can't even live this Christian life. Think about just one part of it. Let's take something really easy to do, like Christian marriage. That's easy enough, isn't it? I mean, let's pick something that's not challenging, like being a husband or a wife the way Christ wants us to be a husband and wife. How hard could that be, right? Well, let me show you. You are in Philippians, back up to Ephesians. Look in Ephesians 5, verse 22. Let me just tell you how the Bible says Christian marriages are supposed to work. Piece of cake. Ephesians 5, 22. Have you found it? Now, here's how Christian marriage is supposed to work. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Piece of cake, right? By the way, that doesn't mean submit to your husband as if he's God, regardless of what he thinks. He is not. What that means is you submit to your husband as your service to the Lord. You're doing it unto the Lord, not just unto your husband. "Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Not some things, not a few things, not most things. Not an occasional thing that you don't mind. You did read all that, didn't you? Write it in. Now, that's a piece of cake, right? Easy stuff. All you have to do is submit. Now, here comes the hard part. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." Now, I don't particularly like that verse of Scripture. I mean, that bothers me. I have a hard time loving my wife like Christ loved the church. I have been married for 153 years. And in all that time, I have never found it easy to love my wife like Christ loved the church. I mean, it is tough being married to Alice Lockerman. She's not here, we can talk. That woman just drives me nuts. I'm just telling you the truth. She just absolutely drives me nuts. We've been married forever, and she still drives me nuts. You know why she drives me nuts? Because she is a woman. That's pretty much it. And she thinks like a woman. And that ain't right. She just drives me nuts. Now, I'm sure I'm not always very easy to live with either. And I can't love her like Christ loved the church without the power of the Holy Spirit. And she cannot love me submissively without the power of the Holy Spirit. The reason so many marriages fail is because we're trying to live our marriages out in the energy of the flesh. And Christian marriage is different from non-Christian marriage, and you got to live it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? Now, don't tell my wife what I said. But do you understand that? In fact, let me show you what he does here. Take your Bible and look, if you will, in Ephesians 5 again, and back up and notice how he prefaces this passage about marriage. It really starts back up in 15 and really gets cranked up in verse 18. And he says, do not be drunk with wine. I find that interesting, don't you? Just before he starts talking about marriage, he says, now don't get drunk. Now don't get drunk. We're going to talk about marriage. Don't go get drunk. Rather than that, he says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he moves from the statement, be filled with the Holy Spirit, right into the conversation about Christian marriage. You cannot live out the Christian marriage without the Holy Spirit power and learning to walk in Him. And incidentally, not only does the Holy Spirit strengthening the inner man enable you to live out your faith, it is the Holy Spirit strengthening the inner man that enables you to stand for Christ when your back is against the wall. I want to show you something here. Take your Bible, please, and look again. Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts. I want to show you a verse that is so often misunderstood, but I want you to see it. If you'll see it, it'll transform you. Look in the book of Acts for the first chapter for a moment, would you please? We're talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit strengthens your inner man, enabling you to live out your faith in the ordinary circumstances, but also enabling you to stand firm for Christ in extraordinary moments. I want to show you this, and please pay close attention. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples before his ascension and after his resurrection. But this is what he says, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now everybody's read that 1,000 times, haven't you? And here's what most of the time we tend to think it means. That when the Holy Spirit, and he's talking there about the day of Pentecost, and after that, just the pouring of the Holy Spirit on your life, we think what it means is this: when the Holy Spirit is in you, the power of God is in you, and so therefore you can just witness, you can just talk to people, and they're going to fall under conviction because the Holy Spirit is in you convicting them. Is that what you think it means? That's what we always think it means, right? We tend to read this and say, oh, if the Holy Spirit is in me, then the power of God is there. I can witness and folks are going to get saved. What's wrong with that? Well, nothing really. Actually, you can do that and you can believe that, but that is really not what that verse is all about. Let me show you why. Take your Bible, look at it again, and zero in on just one word. Notice the word witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. It's the Greek word martyr. In fact, it's the very same word that is translated martyr. He was not saying, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and when that happens, you'll be able to just speak a word and folks will get saved. He was saying, you shall receive power, and after that, you shall become my martyrs in Jerusalem. And they did become martyrs in Jerusalem. Judea, and they did become martyrs in Judea. And Samaria, and they did become martyrs in Samaria. And to the ends of the earth, and they became martyrs to the ends of the earth. You see this? How do you stand firm for Christ when your back is against the wall? How do you do that when you're the only believer in your class, when you're the only believer in your family, when you're the only believer on your job? How do you stand up to the ridicule and the persecution that comes only by the power of the Holy Spirit in you? Is anybody catching this? Here's what he says. The Holy Spirit resonates in you to strengthen your inner man. Without him and without a relationship to him, you're not going to live out this Christian life. Now, let me give you one more thing, and then we'll tie it all together. He begins by describing this internal effect of the power of the Spirit, and then he closes by describing what we might call an external effect of the power of the Spirit. Now, if the internal effect is that he resonates in you to strengthen the inner man, the external effect is that he emanates from you to impact and change the world. This is an interesting verse. Verse 20 is talking about something different. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now he's not just talking about this resident power in you, enabling you, strengthening you. He's now talking about something bigger than that. Something bigger than we can ask for. Something bigger than we can imagine. He's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, not just resonating in you, but emanating from you. Now you've got to catch this. Each service this morning, when I've gotten to this point, I've gotten a different reaction. Some who look at you kind of funny and strange, and some who, for whom it just clicks with them. But you have to get this image in your mind. This may be the most important thing we talk about and have talked about. You've got to get in your mind this reality, that when the Holy Spirit is in you, He not only resonates in you, He emanates from you. The word power is the Greek word dunamis. It means explosive power. It's the same word from which we get our word dynamite. You are and I am the dynamite of God in the spiritual world. He uses you. You do not employ the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit employs you. And the power of God, the presence of God, the Spirit of God emanates from your life. Now, I know how weird this sounds to some, but this is one of the great realities of Scripture. In fact, as you study the Bible, there are numerous occasions when the power of God actually emanated from people. I'll give you some examples. Do you remember the occasion in the Bible where Jesus encounters or is encountered by a woman with an issue of blood? The Bible says that the woman believes if she can touch the hem of his garment, she will be healed. The phrase hem of his garment means the tassel of his robe. And he's being thronged by hundreds and hundreds of people, and the woman comes up, pushes her way through the crowd, reaches out and touches the hem of his garment, and she's healed. Immediately, Jesus wheels around and asks his disciples, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "What do you mean, who touched you? There are hundreds of people thronging you everywhere. How do you say, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "I want to know who touched me." And then the Bible says this, "For he perceived that power went out from him." Do you remember that? What was happening? The Holy Spirit power in Christ was emanating from him. You say, "Well, that was Jesus." Well, let me give you some more examples. Do you remember the occasion when the apostles laid hands upon people and prayed to and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit"? Now, you may not agree with this interpretation, but the implication of that text is that when they laid hands upon them and prayed, "Receive the Holy Spirit," that they received the Holy Spirit, it emanated from them to these people. Now, you don't have to agree with that interpretation, but that is the clear implication of the text. Think of the occasion when the Apostle Paul said, "When I preach to you, I do not preach to you in the wisdom of man, but I preach to you in the power of the Holy Spirit." He was talking about how his ordinary words go out from him and have an extraordinary power. Why? Because the Spirit of God emanates from you, it's not just in you. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, there's a strange occasion. The Bible says in the 5th chapter of Acts that people were trying to, have you ever read this? That people were trying to walk through the shadow of Peter. They're trying to get close enough to Peter to walk in his shadow because they believe that the shadow of Peter contained the presence of the Holy Spirit and they could get healed just by walking in Peter's shadow. You say, "Wait a minute. You don't really believe that people are going to get close to me and walk in my shadow and be slain in the Spirit. You don't believe that, do you, Pastor? I think if people get close enough to you and they walk in your shadow and they fall down, check your deodorant. It's probably not the Spirit at all. But what I do believe is this, the presence of the Holy Spirit emanates from your life. And until you catch that, you're going to miss an awful lot in the Christian life. I don't know how to, see this, do you remember me saying at the beginning that this is the work in progress? Every time I get to this point in this sermon, we start down different directions and go down different roads. Literally what I have seen happen, and you can disagree, you're free to disagree, but I've literally seen this happen in my life where I would walk into the presence of a situation, into a, for lack of a better way of saying it, a spiritually hostile environment. And many times an environment where I'm totally unknown. But I have had the occasion of walking in situations like that and all of a sudden the whole demeanor of the place changes. Why? It's not because of my physical presence. I mean, I'm not a daunting specimen. Or maybe I am. I don't know it. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that emanates from the life of the believer. There's a man in this community who has a reputation of being a harsh, negative, critical, censorious, non-believing, rough and tumble guy, treats everybody like dirt. I've known this guy for, 15 or more years. Every time I walk in his presence, he shuts down, and usually he walks away. In all the years I've known him, he's never opened his mouth once to me. Everybody else, but not me. How do you understand that? And by the way, stop looking around saying, "I know who he's talking about. I know who he's talking about." No, you don't. And it's not one of our deacons. I want you to be sure of that. I can't shut them down for anything. How do you explain that? I don't know. Do you believe the power of the Holy Spirit emanates from the life of the believer? I do. You know who are really good at this? Women who love Jesus are good at this. Have you ever seen a 95-pound grandmama walk, who just loves Jesus and full of the Spirit, walk in the midst of a bunch of teenage hoodlums and shut them down by the authority and power of the Holy Spirit in her? She may weigh 95 pounds, but she's got 2,000 tons of the Holy Spirit emanating from her life. You guys are really quiet. I know. See, this goes beyond the scope and realm of what most of us tend to think. I've been trying to tell you this for weeks now. Everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit goes. The presence of the Holy Spirit is in your life. When you walk in, He walks in and He makes a difference. He emanates from your life. You say, well, Pastor, I've never seen anything like you're talking about. Let me give you a couple of words here and then we're done. Number one, you have to receive this before you will believe this. See, most of us have the idea, if I can believe it, then I will receive it. If I can just believe in this, I'll accept it and act upon it. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. When it comes to the Spirit, you have to receive it and then you can believe it. You have to accept it and by faith that God does this. Number two, if you will expect it, you'll begin to experience it. I learned a long time ago, if I begin to expect the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to emanate from my life, I'll begin to experience that very fact. So, some of us have lived so long in the power and the energy of the flesh, we have a hard time believing there's something more than just our persuasive abilities and the energy of our flesh. I'm telling you, and I want you to get this, you are spirit people. You listening to me? You are spirit people. You are spirit people. The power and the person of the Holy Spirit is in you. Wherever you go, He goes. You've got to start thinking like spirit people think. Let's pray together. Father, what truth you give in your word. It is so exciting. And yet, to be honest, it so often is outside the scope and realm of our common experience. I think a lot of us have a hard time really believing that when we tune into you, when we're filled with your Spirit, that you actually emanate from our lives, and that when we walk in a room, you make a difference. But I know that to be true. I pray, Lord, that we would be a church full of Spirit people. Not people who run around doing weird and strange things, trying to show how spiritual we are, but people who live a life full of the Holy Spirit. I pray tomorrow as we go back to our jobs, our work, our schools, wherever we go, that we would begin to expect your Holy Spirit to do great things through us. And Father, I believe that when we expect it, we'll begin to experience it. Let your Holy Spirit rain down on us and do awesome things. Now, I realize when I preach this subject, it makes some people nervous. There's a kind of anxiousness. Where are we going? How far will we go? I want to go just as far, Lord, as you want us to go. I want to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. I desperately need my inner man to be strengthened. I know my body is perishing. I desperately need my inner man to be strengthened. And I want you to use me, Lord. I want to walk into situations and just see what you do. Now, Lord, for the man or woman in this room who struggles with all of this because all of this is spiritual and they don't know Christ, Holy Spirit, would you just inform them, instruct them, convict them of this truth, that the same Holy Spirit that can do all these things in the life of a believer, can forgive sins, change lives, save souls, and grant eternity. Holy Spirit, rain down in us. Now, Lord, we spend some time just worshiping and giving you our praise. Hallelujah to your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.